stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs and have some fun.
You gotta give us a shot.
You know what?
You gotta give us a shot.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Giants Report. That's right. I am your host, the Mage. As always, I'm joined by my co-host. What's up, CG? How you doing today?
Doing good, man. Had a good Labor Day. Had some drinks. Relaxed. It was pretty good. How about you?
I don't know. My Labor Day, we got rained out a little bit, so it was weird. It was supposed to rain here. It didn't. We went apple picking. I keep saying pumpkin picking. As soon as we got to the orchid, it started raining. So, sure enough. Murph, what's going on, Murph? You had a good time this weekend.
I sure did. Down in Miami. Got no voice, as you can hear. Partying up with all the
same as it always does. But
partying up with all Bobby's friends.
Bobby, you were partying up with Murph?
Miami is like the only part of Florida that aren't my people. I can't stand going down to Miami. So Murph was with everybody but my people down there.
What about Dade County, dude?
It's not too bad. It's just every time I go down to Miami, I realize why I hate it there. You know, people trying to scam. Like I remember one of the last times I was actually there for that Giants Dolphins Monday night game. Pay for parking at the hotel. Some guys like, it's $20 to park there. I was like, nah, like bullshit. I literally just paid for it. I'm like, that guy must make $300 a night of people who are just like, you know what, it's worth the $20 for the peace of mind that this guy said he's going to tell it. So anyways, what's going on? How come this isn't I'm disappointed it's not clapback anymore.
All right, so before we get into clapback, so follow me at the Mage underscore NFL. Follow CGF at CGF underscore NFL. Follow the podcast at the Giants Report Pod. Just Giants Report Pod, no duh. Follow Bobby Skinner at Bobby Skinner underscore and also Talking Giants as well. Follow Murph nowhere because he's been banned from all social media. So, Bobby, it's great that you asked, why are we the Giants Report? What happened to clapback? Murph killed clapback sports, literally.
Judging by the timeline today, not really mad about it.
So Murph went off on a tangent. He got clapback sports finally suspended, I suppose, for good. I was excited by the idea, Bobby, that Elon Musk was going to buy Twitter. So I literally appealed it every single day for like a month. And they just kept rejecting my appeal. So finally, we decided to move over from just a podcast format over to the YouTube as well. CG joined us, and we went with the Giants Report. We try to clean up a little bit. We're trying to clean up our image. You like it? You don't like it?
No, of course I like it. But when I got my account suspended for good, I appealed it. And I, you know, when I did the whole Cowboys fans rant last year, and it just showed how much we had lost it as Giants fans. I'm like, you know what? Screw this game. I'm just gonna go at Giant Cowboys fans all day. And I had to, like, you know, beg. I had to be like, hey, like, my job kind of depends on this account. Like, I was just joking. I don't actually want to kill all the Cowboys fans, but or at least I wanted to, but I wasn't going to follow through with it, so I was able to get it back.
I remember that. You were stressed out for a little bit.
No, I was actually having fun. What happened was, is long story short, before we get in, is just trying to get myself pumped up for the game. I tweet out Micah Parsons is soft. Don't actually believe that, but I'm just trying to talk a little shit, get the blood flowing before we're about to get killed by the Cowboys. And one of the big Cowboys accounts finds it in quotes, tweets it. I was like, oh God, now I'm going to have to deal with all these Cowboys fans thinking I'm an actual idiot. So I just turned it into a thread and I said, I will kill all of you. Just to let them know, like, I can bring the energy all day. And it turned into...
That's pretty funny.
Turned into a battle.
I thought it was about you, like, trying to set fire to MetLife Stadium. I thought maybe that was the reason you got
it. I got to outsource that because it's you've seen some stadiums, like, catching flames the last year. And I'm like, I didn't know this was actually possible. Like, I got to be careful with that.
I think Grump could probably take care of that for you.
Yeah, we get – I guess outsource that one.
Also, too, so that was pretty good. And then also your little voiceover with Will Hernandez. Was it Taco Tuesday?
Dude, that was, people asked me to do more of those. And I was like, they just have to happen. Like, it literally has to happen for me watching a press conference and like finding something funny of it. Like they, so Will Hernandez goes to the Cardinals and obviously he's Mexican. They asked him about tacos three times. I was like, this is absurd. Like, I get the guy's Mexican, but you don't need to. So I did the South Park voiceover and a lot of big accounts fell for it, but then they deleted it. Like, and after 5 minutes of realizing that it wasn't real, which is like, come on, like how obvious do you think? Like, this would be a national storyline if this actually happened.
Well, you got them. You got them to fall for it. You did also, too, with Saquon returning back to Soldier Field, right?
That one was a little more believable because beat reporters are clowns sometimes. But they just kept on asking about, like, what he was going to do at the field, and he's like, nothing. that one, within 30 minutes, I was like, oh, this is going to blow up. And then some of the big accounts got it, and then once Barstool got it, it was like, okay, it's over. Like, this is gonna hit a million views. What's funny is all the reporters told me, like, all of their friends were like, who did this? Like, which guy did this? And then they keep on explaining them, like, it's not real.
That's funny, man. I mean, a lot of people that don't know you, I mean, that's just the tip of the iceberg. So
Did you do it with Saquon too?
That was the one.
Murphy, thanks for joining the conversation 10 minutes in. We just talked about that.
I'm sorry. You started with Will Hernandez.
Hey, well, the Saquon one was the second one. And then Bobby also likes to call into Breaking Blue Kickoff Live or
Big
something?
Big Blue Kickoff Live. I haven't done that since smelt. Kelvin Benjamin. That was, but now Paul Dottino knows who we are, and he saw Justin at training camp, and he said, "Where's Tim?" so it's hard to do it now because if I call it now, they're gonna know who it is from the get.
They let Charlie Vacchiano on that show all the time, so I'm sure Tim's still welcome.
I used to get them wound. Lance Meadow, I used to get wound up really good, and then I would always suck up to Paul and make fun of the other ones because I know Paul will eat it up and it'll drive the other two crazy. And it always would work like a charm, but
that's funny, man.
I those type of things, just like it, just there's not like I want to do this. It's like, okay, something hits and it's like, do it right now.
Well, that's the thing, though, too. I mean, congratulations to Bobby. I mean, I've known you since Simple Man Radio, even before Talking Giants, and I literally, from my opinion, has to be the biggest Giants podcast there is right now. I mean, where are you guys sitting in terms of everybody else? You guys got to be up there. Top five, top three?
Out of just Giants podcasts?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mean to pat myself on the back, but yeah, we're the number one in all the rankings.
So number one is cool. What I figured.
I enjoy coming on with you guys because, like you said, like, you know, I knew you guys when I had like 600 followers and I was, you know, like talking about Daniel Jones right after the draft and stuff.
I remember back listening to you when I would watch the Patreon streams and we would always lose. And I always felt bad for you guys because you guys would come on and it was like an awful loss. And I'd be like, how the hell are you guys like keeping it together? And half the time you weren't keeping it together.
Patreon actually helped with that because it was like a support group after the games where it's just like, oh God, like December, it was like, man, like how are we going to talk about this Jake Fromm game? Like, what do we do? Like, what do we do with this? Like, are we supposed to actually give analysis on this or what? But hopefully those days are behind us, though.
Hope so.
Yeah, but I mentioned that, though, too, because you've done such a great job, honestly, growing your platform. But people forget that, you're just a simple man, dude, with comedy and everything else. So you don't take yourself too seriously, though, for those that don't know you, so. Thanks for coming on, blessing us with your presence as always. I mean, how are you feeling about the New York Giants right now heading into week one, Bobby?
Man, it's so I feel like the defense is just raining on my parade anytime I think of something positive. Like, I think the offense is going to be fun this year, right?
Are you buying into any of the preseason stats?
So the offense was.
Good. Right. The offense obviously outperformed the defense. The only thing that the defense was top five in was their run defense. Other than that, we were like 28, 32.
not necessarily the stats, but just seeing what they were doing, like scheme wise, was just like, it's just the simple stuff, but it was worlds better than what we've seen out of Jason Garrett the last couple of years.
Right.
And I think it'll be better than what we got out of Pat Shurmur, which wasn't, you know, horrible, not great. So I think the offense is going to be fun. Like, I think this will be a middle of the road offense, and it'll be up to Daniel Jones to see, you know, like, can he, if he can turn it into a good offense, he'll be here next year. If it's just a middle of the road offense, he probably won't be. So I think regardless, the offense is going to be fun. Like, we're, I think at, by the end of the year, we're either going to be like, Daniel Jones is the dude, or we're like, we get the right guy into this offense, and it's like, it's time to take off. So that, but the defense, man, it's just one, just the starters aren't like, Aaron Robinson's going to get picked on a ton. You know, we just lost Blake Martinez. Like, people, it's, again, a guy doesn't have to be Lawrence Taylor to be a significant impact. Like, I think people are underselling how much losing him will affect the defense. Right now, Kayvon and Azeez are out. Like, Jihad Ward and O'Shane Ximenez are going to be our day one edge rushers. Now, obviously, those guys won't be out all year. But it's just, they're so thin at every position. You know, like, the drop-off is, you know, Kayvon Azeez to Jihad Ward and O'Shane Ximenez. That's a significant drop-off. You know, if Adoree Jackson goes down, I mean, it's going to be – teams are going to score on us every drive. If we lose Adoree Jackson, teams will score on us every drive. So my hope is that Wink Martindale, with the defense he runs, will take advantage of bad quarterbacks, and we'll just have to suck it up when we play the good ones. That would be – like, that's what I think would be successful for Wink Martindale. It's like, can you look good versus bad bad offenses? Because good offenses, it doesn't matter what he throws at them. This personnel is not going to be able to hang.
All right. So the Giants recently just added Tony Jefferson to the roster to go along with Xavier McKinney, Julian Love, and then also they signed Pinnick, which it looks like he's projected to be a cornerback on this team. Do you think that we can see Julian Love at cornerback and move Aaron Robinson out of the CB2 position?
No, I think the Giants have made their bed with their personnel, and I think they should just – it's time to lay in it, you know. Like, let you moved on from Logan Ryan. Obviously, they weren't going to re-sign Peppers coming off the injury. Like, you moved off of Logan Ryan to let Julian Love play. So let him finally play a position, you know. And when were we the most excited about Julian Love? Playing strong safety in 2019. You know, so finally, right. let him be try, you know, be his the best version of himself, whatever that may be, this year. And you got to deal with it, because I don't think Julian Love would be a great man corner on the outside, anyways. You know, and like you made your bed with Aaron Robinson, lay in it.
What do you think is wrong with Robinson? You've obviously been
everything. Around.
I mean, do you think he's out of position? Do you think he should be playing the slot? What do you think it is?
He played slot in college, you know? And like, I think that's where he fits best. Like, the reason Aaron Robinson loses is because he loses at the release too often, you know? And he's a decent athlete. He plays physical. So there's times where even if he loses at the beginning, he's able to recover and make a play. So he doesn't turn his head always, which is going to be an issue. But he loses at the release. So you go against top receivers, man, and they're going to, like, you know, you're not going to be able to live with that. Where at nickel corner, you know, guys aren't running 20, you know, 40 yards straight down the field, you know, in the slot. You know, they're running in breakers, out breakers, you know, little quick routes. You know, every once in a while they'll run deep on a clear out. But, you know, so I just think that's where he loses the most and what he needed to work on the most, regardless of playing outside or nickel, but it doesn't look good. And then that, with the fact that he doesn't turn his head great, well, guess what? Teams are going to work the sidelines against you, where you're not going to, at nickel corner, you're not going to have the sidelines, you know, back shoulders and, you know, 25, 30 yard fade. So I just think it's going to be an issue. And I know they signed, like, Fabian Moreau could maybe get in and get some playing time over Aaron Robinson. I think if there's anybody who could just unseat him.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
I was gonna ask you that. So with the addition of the safeties and all these cornerbacks that we added recently, do you think that it's more of a – right? What Wink likes to do is keep his defense fresh. I think we looked at last year's stats. There were only three players that played like more than 90% of snaps or something like that. So do you think that it's going to be more of a rotational aspect? How does Tony Jefferson fit into this? How does Moreau fit into this? How does Pinnick?
I think those guys fit in by taking linebackers off the field. Like, so like with Blake Martinez, people are like, well, they took the green dot away from him. Well, Wink Martindale gives it to the safeties because he takes his linebackers off the field at times, which means it's just he wants to give it to someone who is on the field at all the times, which will be his starting safeties. So I think there will be times where they'll have just four edge guys or four, you know, with no D linemen. You know, there was times even in preseason they had four inside linebackers in with no edge and no D line. So he's going to take linebackers or D linemen off the field to get those guys in on the field. Like Tony Jefferson, if you ask me what his role would be this year, it'd be third and eight dime linebacker. You know, take Austin. And now that Blake Martinez is not on the team, it's a lot easier to take Austin Kalicho or Tay Crowder off the field for Tony Jefferson.
Do you see Xavier McKinney filling more of that role?
I think he's going to be the deep guy. I think he's going to give. I think he's going to give help to Aaron Robinson or whoever's that corner out opposite of Adoree Jackson. Like I think that's why I'm interested to see if Adoree Jackson can get some of the interception and pass breakups that he got last year, where he was top five in the league for both for safeties. Might even been like first, and I think he might have even been first in one of those categories for safeties. So, like, he could still be a better player, but I don't know if he's going to get the same, like, ball production that he did last year, because I think there's going to be a lot of, like, helping Aaron Robinson over the top and playing center field safety compared to last year where they played, like, cover two and cover, like, two high safety stuff.
So Chris Peace wants to know, do you think that Wink can coach up Robinson?
Yeah, but, you know, you're not going to turn him into something he's not. Like, he's in nickel corner, man. That's what we talked about it a couple weeks ago. It's kind of frustrating where it's like we liked Aaron Robinson as a nickel corner, but now he's playing out of position because they don't have anybody there, and you may lose a player. You know, like you may never find out what Aaron Robinson is at nickel corner because he had such a bad year that it's like, okay, well, we go into next year with Cordell Flaude, and then Aaron Robinson's just kind of a nobody at that point. So I just wish he could play like they could have figured out somebody to put him on the outside and let Aaron Robinson play the nickel corner. Cause I think Aaron Robinson at nickel corner would have been a good scheme fit with Wink Martindale, like aggressive press man, plays well in the run game, even though he had some bad moments in the preseason game. Like he fits it better than Darnay Holmes does. So I think Aaron Robinson will get better, or hopefully he'll get better as the year goes along. Hopefully he doesn't have confidence issues, but we remember DeAndre Baker got better as the year went along after really struggling at the start. So, but I don't think he's going to get coached up to like where we're pleased with him at the end of the year.
If Aaron Robinson or Adoree Jackson go down, who do you see stepping in at the outside linebacker, outside cornerback position?
Fabian Moreau or Ryan McLeod, the guy they got from Buffalo, which is like, I mean, those guys weren't on our roster a week ago.
So where did Cordell Flott fit in this scheme?
Cordell, I don't know if he's ready to play his rookie year one. And then two, if he is, I'd rather see him at nickel corner giving Darnay some breathers. You know, let him play nickel corner. That's what he did in college. I don't want to see him out on the outside is where I'm at. I don't want to see him out on the outside.
But that's the thing, though. It feels like this team just has a whole bunch of cornerbacks, but nobody to play boundary. No one to play outside, though.
No, they don't, and it's going to be brutal. Like, Fabian Moreau's a pro, but he gave up eight touchdowns last year. Like, 60. I looked at, I think, 800 yards and 65 up 65% of passes, you know. And like, he may be the best guy for the job. So it feels good to get a guy who's a vet and has played in, you know, he played for Washington for a few years and then started every game for Atlanta last year. But it's just not going to be a good situation. It's going to be bad. Like there's no way around it. It's going to be bad this year, especially at that position. And if Adoree Jackson goes down, it's going to be horrible. So I really think this, like I did this thing for Bleacher Report, like what's your three bold predictions? Two were positive and the negative one is, I really think we're on, like, depending on how we do against these bad QBs, because that could swing it big time. Like, the Giants could be the 32nd ranked passing defense in the NFL. Like, the Ravens were last year.
Preseason. That's why they asked you about it, whether or not you buy into those stats.
Yeah.
They were ranked fifth against the run, 32nd against the pass. I think they were 28th in terms of points allowed. But when you move over to the offensive side of the ball, first in passing yards, I think it was like, I think we were third or first in points per game. It really seems like what a change from last season. We're going to need the offense to literally bail out the defense.
I feel like we flip-flop like every 2 years where it was like
– That's true.
2018, 2019, the offense wasn't great, but it was not horrible either. And the defense was horrible. And then 2020, the defense was ranked ninth, the offense 31st. And even though the defense probably doesn't have great rankings at the end of last year, like you could tell the numbers lied a little bit because they were having to play with such a horrible offense on the other side, especially towards the end of the year where it was like not only was the offense bad, it's the worst offense I've ever seen watching the NFL was that offense at the end of the
year. Yeah, well, when you run a quarterback sneak on third down and fourth, I mean.
Which might have been like one of the better plays of that day. Like, that's how bad it was.
I just think this team's going to have a lot of 35-31 losses this year. I mean, I think the fan base is going to get really frustrated because I think offensively we're going to be really good. I think we're going to be able to put points up. I think the biggest issue is going to be able to keep teams from not scoring 30 points. And with the way our secondary is, especially at that CB2, I don't know how much, how possible that's going to be.
Yeah, I think the offense is going to end up somewhere between 15th and 20th. You know, it is improved for last year, even personnel-wise. Like, obviously, the offensive line is better. Not fixed, but definitely better.
All comes down to health.
Yeah, and then, it's like, okay, our wide receivers aren't usually healthy, but they were unbelievably unhealthy last year comparatively. So, and then Saquon's going to be good this year. Like, I really do think he is. The run blocking up front is a lot better. So I think that's going to take some stress off, and then the new offensive scheme. I think they're going to get a lot of RPOs to kick drives off, or like, hey, we got this look free release RPO. We saw it in the preseason; that was just a bland version of it. So I think the offense ends up ranked 15th to 20th, where there's going to be games where it's awesome and it's fun. That you might get a couple games in there where they score 9-12 points because you went up against a good defense and Daniel Jones didn't perform or whatever reason. So I think the offense will be fun overall, but it's just, like I said at the start, I think the defense is just going to be, raining on our parade all year.
All right, so let's transition over to the offense, right? So my buddy Murph here.
I wanted to ask Bobby one thing. There hasn't been a lot of talk about Adoree. How do you feel about him moving into that number one role?
Good. Like, we were at all the preseason camps, man. He looked good. Granted, he was going up against Galladay.
He's just never done it before, if I remember correctly, right?
He did it in Tennessee a little bit where he was fairly good. I think Adoree is going to be good. Like, I really do. And I think with the way that Wink Martindale coaches, that it's like, he's going to have some opportunities to get interceptions. It's just up to him to freaking catch them this year.
I think
hopefully he stays healthy.
Yeah. Yeah. And he has to stay healthy. If Adoree Jackson caught two more interceptions last year because he had all his drops, people would be talking about him having one of the best seasons of the year. Like, he was top five in yards per target, yards per catch. He was awesome last year. He just couldn't catch interceptions. Granted, that was going against wide receiver two, so it's going to be a lot different this year. But I also think what will benefit him is when teams play us, they're not going to target their wide receiver one a ton. They're going to target their wide receiver two because they know they got a matchup they like in versus Aaron Robinson.
Yeah, I think Adoree Jackson certainly is a better fit in Wink Martindale's system than he was in Patrick Graham's. Moving over to the offense real quick. So my buddy Murphy has been clamoring for the Giants to sign Cole Beasley. And it kind of seems like a problem that the Giants have on defense too, right? I mean, how many slot receivers do the New York Giants need? Reason why I preface that is because Big City Empire Sports wants to know, what's your opinion on Marcus Johnson? So that was the one player that the Giants did sign as opposed to Murph's guy. Obviously, Marcus Johnson is a guy that could play outside, which is where we need wide receivers the most. What's your opinion on this wide receiver core?
Yeah, we just have a lot of slot. I mean, they just drafted Wandale, and then Shep with – if everyone's healthy, Shep would play the slot with Tony and Galladay outside. So we just don't have money. Like, Cole Beasley would be awesome for this offense. He really would be. But we just don't have the money. I don't think Cole's coming on the minimum. The Feliciano's recruiting. He hung out with him this past week, and I saw him on Instagram and was trying to get him, said he was recruiting. So I think Beasley would love to. I just don't know if they have the money. And again, you can't draft Wandale, have Shep on your roster, and then get another like slot only guy. And it's simple. We have no money. We just have to reconstruct Leonard Williams, and that might not. They might even have to tinker a little bit to get through the season as well.
I'm not going to lie to you, Bobby. I have no idea what the vision is right now. Zero idea.
From GM or coaching staff?
GM.
Yeah, it's. There's been a lot of.
I'm very confused because. I know this doesn't really make sense. Major already gave me shit for it, but. Why sign a Tony Jefferson and not a Cole Beasley, right? It should be one or the other. The names are relevant.
Yeah, I just think Jefferson's like practice squad contract where Cole Beasley – I don't know if Cole Beasley wants to come play for the minimum.
Well, that's obviously a piece of it, but I'm talking about signing Cole Beasley as a vet man. There shouldn't be – in my opinion, there should be no vet contracts given out going forward. All vet minimums, anything else is a crime, in my opinion. So with Cole, it's the same thing. It's a vet min or nothing. So that's the way I'm approaching that. But I don't know what the vision is here, man.
Yeah, I don't think we're really going to know totally what it is until next. Because so the draft, they plugged holes. Like they had 11 picks, and they essentially – they didn't double down on any positions besides they got two off-ball linebackers, and both those guys were wildly different. They got three offensive linemen, but there's five starting spots on the O-line. Too. So they kind of plugged holes. So I don't know. There's been, you know, like the Blake thing. I know people get mad at this, but something went awry there. You know, they restructured his, like they restructured his contract to give him $2 million of guarantee that wasn't there. You know, they could have just cut him in March. So they didn't cut him because he wasn't a scheme fit, because guess what? We had the same scheme in March. They didn't cut him to play Austin Calitro, Tay Crowder, and Micah McFadden. They didn't do that.
Think it was a personality issue?
I do think that's what it was. I think Blake Martinez is not a guy who's going to go out and be a bad dude. But he is a little bit of weird.
He's fucking weird.
Asked people, so this isn't like definitive information, like what is the vibe that you get? And it was just like, it seemed like they never embraced Blake Martinez, which is fine. I'm not asking this new coaching staff to embrace Blake Martinez, but I am asking you to embrace him. If you reconstructed his contract, they have guaranteed money. You know,
they had plans for him, obviously.
Yes, and they cut him 2 days after the 53-man roster was put out. So there was more stuff that happened within that. So I just think they, you know, and that's part of being a coach too, is, you know, and I think it's something that Joe Judge was good at, was connecting with every guy and letting them know, well, this is what is going to happen with you. These, even when he was, you know, punishing Golden Tate. Like, do you think Golden Tate loved Joe Judge? But after that whole thing in Tampa, like, you didn't hear Tate being an issue after that. So it's just, it's part of the thing is handling personalities and big personalities, obviously, because these guys are NFL players. And I think they just dropped the ball on it. It doesn't change the future of the franchise and stuff. But while they're scraping for pennies, that's $2 million.
It doesn't, but we're paying all these dudes to not even be on our roster. I get their stories. I get Logan. Logan, to me, fine. I'm not going to get over Bradberry. People can take this however they want, but I believe that there were deals on the table at some point in time, and he chose to not take them. Yeah, but the deal was
contingent whether or not he signed a contract with the team.
Don't care. I believe that we could have gotten something.
It takes two to
it.
Do you think part of that made?
There's been no actual concrete evidence. This is me fucking just speculating, but I find it hard to believe that there was no offers on the table for James Bradberry pre-draft.
Me speculating is that they played too much hardball with James Bradberry, where the money dried up, and so it turned into like, well, if you're not gonna reconstruct your contract and extend with us, then it's not going to work for us. Where if they wanted free agency, like there had to be offers for James Bradberry, you know, and then they would have taken him on a 1 year deal or whatever it was.
You know, Kansas City were talking to the Giants about Bradberry.
At the trade deadline last year, they were talking about him a little bit.
Yeah, so I think they played a little too much of hardball. Again, this is speculative, but I can see that how that happened, because like you said, like there's no way that day one of free agency, some team's not willing to give up a 7th-round pick on James for James Bradberry on an expiring deal. There's too much cornerback need in the NFL for some team to not do that.
My biggest 20 corner. my biggest issue was when they decided to get rid of him and release him is that they didn't have a viable someone to really play there. And exactly. And yeah, they thought maybe Aaron Robinson would fit that position, but you know, that was 1A. 1A fails, then what? You know.
Yeah. At the same, as much okay. as, but I also understand, like, they had no money, you know, and if Sauce Gardner's on the board, maybe they draft Sauce Gardner type of thing. So
I think they would have definitely taken Sauce.
Yeah, I think they would have too. It's just, they are kind of strapped with what they, like, they were never going to do a ton this offseason anyways. I just wish we could have gotten some draft capital out of some of these guys would have let go.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, at the beginning, if it's March 1st and you're like, all right, we're going to get rid of Blake, Blake on a reduced contract where he's basically playing for the vet minimum. James Bradbury, Logan Ryan, you couldn't have traded with his contract. And then most likely Darius Slayton, I'm expecting in the next 24 hours. Like, I feel like you should have gotten something for one of those guys.
Bobby, so let me ask you this question, Bobby. So we spent our second round pick on Wandale Robinson. I haven't really seen in my mind. I haven't seen much.
Before you go into that, CJ, I want to stick with Joe Shane real quick, if you don't mind. So with what Murph was talking about with Joe Shane, and somebody had brought this up in our chat, right? I mean, Dave Gettleman made a lot of difficult decisions when he first came here, cutting JPP, Olivia Vernon, trading Odell Beckham. Joe Shane has potentially made a lot of difficult decisions too, trading or releasing James Bradbury and not getting anything for him, releasing Logan Ryan, paying him to be on the Bucks, releasing Blake Martinez. Do you feel like Joe Shane is fumbling this so far, or do you still feel good about the direction that we're heading? And I know it's only year one, but
no, I think he's going to be judged on the draft for this year, because like there's things I agree with, but they're not super consequential in the long term regardless. Like here's the things I disagree with: cutting Logan Ryan for nothing. I disagree with that, but Logan Ryan is not going to be here in the long term. The Blake Martinez. I would have been fine if they would have cut Blake Martinez in March and saved that $2 million. So, but that $2 million probably isn't going to make a huge difference in the long run.
That $2 million.
Quincy Roche. I can't stand the fact that they cut Quincy Roche for Oshane Zimenez and Ellerson Smith. But Quincy Roche, probably not going to be the difference maker of a playoff team or not. He can, though. But because you could also point out the fact that Quincy Roche won a game for the Giants last year, and Oshane Zimenez lost the game. You know, so Quincy Roche is a guy who can make some plays. So I still vehemently disagree with that, but I'm also not like livid over it, because I know they're even if they are mistakes, they're small mistakes. So what he'll be drafted off or judged off of this year when we look back is the draft, because that's really all there is. Because everything else, like the only other contract that would be judged long term off of is Mark Lewinsky, and even then that's a pretty cheap deal considering, and you can get out of that after 2 years. So it really comes down to how's this draft looked in 2 years.
Cutting Blake Martinez then, saving that $2.2 million, is a difference between having to cut Darius Slayton now.
Yes, so. It really is, and that's the type of stuff matters, or $2 million less of the Leo reconstruction. So like that stuff is, like I said, and that's why I can't stand when people say, you guys are acting like this guy's Lawrence Taylor. I'm like, no, I'm just acting like every decision matters. That's all I'm acting like. Every decision
matters.
It does,
man. It does. And yeah. That's what's pissing me off. It's like, bro, we have a lot of guys on this team that have to have career years this year. Mm-hmm. And you're making the roster worse. I'll give Pat Leonard credit,
and I hate to give him credit. But so they yesterday in the press conference, they were trying to get some Blake Martinez answers out of Dable, and he wasn't giving it nothing. But Pat just asked him, like, does cutting Blake Martinez make the team better? And he's just like, I'll, you know, he didn't answer that. There was butting of heads with Blake Martinez, which I feel like Blake Martinez is not a guy that you should be butting heads with. I feel like he's a guy you can make it work with easily. And if you just talk with, like, again, you knew what you were going to be about in March for this team. So I there should have been a meeting of the minds of like, hey, what's your vision for your career this year? This is what we have for you. If you want to do it, you take this pay cut that we have for you. If not, we'll just cut you flat out and good luck to you. But they, I don't know, somewhere along the road, communication, and it broke down with between Blake and the coaching staff.
Go, CG.
Well, but the point I was curious about is when we drafted Wandell Robinson in the second round and we cut James Bradbury, I don't understand the rationale behind that. I mean, we really haven't seen much yet from Wandell, and I think he's a talented player. I just was wondering what your opinion was on that, because I think it would have been better somehow to maybe allocate those resources towards a cornerback help, especially when, you know, we already traded back twice, if I remember correctly. What's your opinion on that?
So someone asked us about this question on the mailbag yesterday. We didn't put it on there. So I went back and looked at it, and again, my opinion doesn't matter on the draft, but I went and looked at the second round after that, and there was no corners that I really liked. I would have rather had at 43rd. Other wide receivers I might have liked. But this is where I do play the, like, it's not about this year card. Like, it's about getting the best talent that you think you can get that's going to help you long term. And if they believe Wandale is better for that. So I don't have a problem with that. Because again, I said that before the draft, you know, like I do a draft speech every year in our draft day pod. And I'm like, do not try and squeak out as many wins for this year in the draft. Just draft the best players that you think will contribute to winning 3 years from now. So hopefully they did that. So it's going to suck this year defensively, but that's where I do play that. It's not about this year card. And I would rather them put more resources towards the offense than the defense in year one, which they have done.
Yeah.
Piggybacking off of the Wandell question, how much of this offense do you think we've seen during the preseason versus how much they're going to unveil during the regular season?
I think you get a good gist of what they're going to do, which is spreading the field out, deep to short reads for DJ, you know, just creating space underneath, which is like the exact opposite of what we've seen the last 2 years, making the check downs in the middle
model, field. Right?
Yeah. And then a lot of RPO. So I think you saw what it's going to be like. Obviously there's stuff that they didn't unveil totally in preseason. But I think we have a good idea of what they – I mean, it's the same stuff we saw in Buffalo too. So it's not like it's any huge surprise. So, but obviously some of the Wandale packages and stuff, they probably want to keep on wraps a little bit too. And I want to make one more point on is like some of the motion stuff. Like that's the type of stuff you don't want to give away in preseason. Is like, okay, when they motion and this is what they want to run. This is the type of action they're trying to get into. So, but I think you get, like I said, you get a grasp of what their philosophy is overall.
Do you think they were holding back some stuff with Wandell in the preseason? Or do you feel like he just hasn't ramped up to speed yet?
A little, but I also think he's just going to have some struggles as a rookie. He's 5'8". He's got to get better. Like, he's not a great route runner yet. You know, he got bullied a little bit on the line of scrimmage on a couple plays as well. So, but he's going to have his moments. Like that throw to David Sills on the right sideline, like the one of the two incompletions versus Cincinnati. Right read, right throw by Daniel Jones. But if that was covered up, Wandale was open on a slant. Like, and it would have been a nice, like, yak play for him too. So Wandale will get his opportunity. I think Wandale's going to be up and down as far as production this year. I think there's going to be games where it's like, man, 6 catches, 85 yards. This kid's exciting. And it's going to be like the next week, it's going to be 1 catch for 6 yards. And like, where was Wandell Robinson this game? Plus with Shep back, I think Shep is arguably your best receiver. At least most consistent receiver, you know, maybe it's not the best. I think Tony would be the best, but just your most consistent receiver is Shep. So I don't know if they're going to throw Wandell in there a ton anyways to start.
Shep should be pretty happy. I mean, if Shep can stay healthy, he should be able to eat in this offense, no doubt.
And yeah, this is like the offense built for him, like option routes and stuff like that, knowing where to be at all times. Like, that is Shep's bread and butter. And he was the only guy who didn't let Jason Garrett hold back his production was Sterling Shep.
He was like, going off. Him and Danny, first 4 weeks, wide receiver, I believe he was top four.
Yeah, the last two years, Daniel Jones and Sterling Shep complete like 78% of their passes. Like, that's insanely high. Like, those guys have a good connection. Like, it was the one – again, he was the one, like, skill player that Jason Garrett didn't – that didn't allow Jason Garrett to hold him back with Shep. So, it's – but I don't know what he's going to look like coming off the Achilles. It's obviously a little worrisome, too.
Well, I think they're going to be slow with him. So honestly, that you might see a little bit Wandell early.
Yeah, you'll get a good mix of the two. So I'm still excited to see how the, like, I know everyone hates Kenny Golladay right now. I'm not, I got to see it in regular season to just go at him. I still think, like, even within last year, when he played with Daniel Jones, he had one of his better catch rates of the year. He had 53 yards per game, which isn't great, but it's not horrible either. I still think Kenny Golladay can produce. You know, Tony, I'm in love with if he can just stay on the field. Like, it's just, but it's such a huge worry that it's hard to get excited about him. Shep is obviously consistent and good when he's on the field, and then you have a guy like Wanda. So I'm still excited for the offense for this year, you know, and I don't think any of us here are clamoring that Daniel Jones is, you know, like he is 100% the franchise quarterback, but I think we're the four of us agree he's not as bad as some people make him out to be. You know, and we all realize how bad the last 2 years the system and the offensive line in front of him held him back. And now the question is just what did we hold him back from? Did we hold him back from being a top 15 quarterback, top 12 quarterback, or at you know, what we're all hoping is the top 10 guy?
Bobby, so you're telling me you're not on Anthony Richardson, Cam Ward, Benson Stennett, Phil Jerkovich. You're not watching any of these quarterbacks for who the next...
I watched Richardson, man. I like him.
I will say that Richardson does look like a really exciting player. So, if everything can come together for him, he certainly looks like a little more athletic version of Cam Newton. But
I got to see him throw the ball 30 times.
Yeah, I need that too. Well, so I don't watch college football a ton, but the first week I watch every game. We do our way too early draft week every year, and we did Richardson on that, and it was like, okay, exciting. The one thing I'll notice about him, because you think of like, okay, raw QB, big arm, can run. You think, well, because like you wouldn't think he goes through his progressions. He actually does go through his progression, so that's what intrigued me about him. He cleaned up some of his mechanics, but you did see some of the issues that he had last year. Was like that dropped interception was like that was. I've seen Anthony Richardson make that throw a bunch of times last year where he's rolling out, his footwork collapses, and he just throws up a ball trying to be hero, and it ends up being an interception. So he's the one, like, so Young and Stroud, I'm not going to watch those guys until the year's over, because those guys, like, people say you shouldn't nitpick. No, you should nitpick the Ohio State and Alabama QB. Yeah. You absolutely should, because those systems make it easy for those guys to have big plays. And it makes it easy for their mistakes to get hit, covered up, because the next play you can get hit, you know, hit another 20-yard pass. So, you're Caleb. So there's so many guys that I won't like dive deep into any of them until the year's over.
He's not draft eligible though.
Oh, okay.
But so it's actually perfect.
The one guy that I'm a little excited about this guy before diving deep is Anthony Richardson. But you obviously, like Murph said, you got to see this guy throw 30 times in a game. Which he's never done. He only threw the ball 63 times all of last year.
Yeah, I'm waiting to November at least to start thinking about quarterbacks, because I want to see how Daniel does. I mean, there's the first 7 games before the bye should tell us a lot. And then if he's not the guy, he's not going to be the guy. Then we'll have plenty of time to look at quarterbacks and figure out who the best fit will be for our team.
Yeah, I try to not do draft stuff anyways until the season's. I'll do like in the bye week, I'll do like a video on it, but I try to not do a ton. And quarterbacks, man. Like, quarterbacks, you got to actually watch. You just can't watch their highlights. It's like, because all these guys have highlights. Everybody's highlight tape looks freaking awesome. Yeah. Or on any given weekend, Saturday. Like, it's a lot of it is fake.
Jamarcus Russell looked good, if you can look back.
Well, I'll bring it up. When I first started doing this, was Dwayne Haskins. Yeah. No one actually watched Dwayne Haskins, like some of all the issues had, but they just saw Ohio State. Like big play, and they were there. But it was like, man, I was like, it is easy, like that. I remember he had like what it was like 450 yards.
It was just or the
something. Remember versus Michigan, he had like 450 yards or something. I went and count, 360 of them were yak. 360 of like 455 yards were yak. His biggest play was literally just doing a push pass to Paris Campbell, who ran 75 yards. So
nice.
That's why I went crazy. That's why I won't give any takes until I actually legit sit down and watch the dudes.
I saw the other day, I can't remember who it was. I would love to give them credit, but
this is the last quarterback talk.
They had mentioned about, you know, in college, the windows are so much wider than in the NFL, and that's what you want to look for. That's what you want to see translate.
There's whole areas of the field that are closed in the NFL, you know, where in college they can be open. So it's just you, and even as much, even when you do go, it's so hard to judge, you know, do QBs anyways, because so much of it is like what's between his ears. Does he work hard as hell? Does he have what it takes to, when shit goes bad, to be able to handle it? And a lot of guys can't handle it when they go bad, or there's other guys who, they may be hard workers, but being a QB, you have to like to be the hardest worker to be consistent.
Does he have a clause in his contract that states that he has to watch a certain amount of film?
Yeah. maybe the worst PR of all time was that, and then they took it out. It's like, you're not helping yourself here.
So awful.
All right, let's go back to the Giants and talk some O-line, Bobby. How are we feeling? Because I'm not feeling too great personally, but obviously we got those bookends here now, but I'm still pretty worried.
How I feel depends on how good does Evan Neal look as a rookie. Because if he doesn't have a ton of rookie struggles, then I feel a lot better. You got Thomas. I mean, you have upgrades at every position. You know, like even if Devery Hamilton's playing, it's probably better than Matt Skura at left guard.
Yeah.
Feliciano's an upgrade over Billy Price. And then Will Hernandez and Nate Solder were like the worst duo to ever step on the field in offensive line history. So Glowinski and Neal, that's the funny thing is Neal could like be bad and it's still like, this is a sizable upgrade over what we had last year.
That's true.
At this position. I feel good about them run blocking. I still have Neal's some concerns about the group pass blocking as a whole.
I kind of expect Neal to struggle, man. I mean, it's pretty natural for a
Luckily we have Andrew Thomas too now, where if he does struggle and people are freaking out, it's like, oh yeah, remember that guy on the other side? Like, remember the reaction to that? Like give the guy some damn time.
And they seem like they're pretty tight, so he's got his resources there in house to, you know, because Thomas just went through it. Obviously, the fan base was done with him at week six his rookie year. So.
Yeah, and confidence is such a big part of playing sports, and I guarantee you, like having Andrew Thomas, you could be like, dude, like could literally just pull up some of the things said about him. Like it doesn't need to be tweets; it's articles and experts and stuff writing about him and being like, this is all the shit they said about me. Like you're gonna be good. Just keep your head down and keep working. And Evan Neal seems like one of those hardworking, head down type of guys anyways. That's not going to be flustered by a ton of criticism regardless. So, I feel good about it. And I really do think they're going to run the damn ball. Like, I know we talked about Daniel Jones and the receivers. Saquon Barkley looks back to close to what he was in 2018 and 2019 compared to last year. So, I think they're going to, like, be a good running team. Like, they're going to run the ball, and I think they're going to do it well this year. So, again, I think the offense is going to have some really high moments overall throughout the year.
You're the offensive line guru. Who's your starting five?
If everybody's healthy?
Yeah.
Just with the Giants. Same as the Giants. Thomas, Lemieux, Feliciano, Glowinski, and Neal.
You think – so you like Feliciano at – well, I guess we got rid of Max Garcia, though, too. I felt like
Hamilton – on the practice squad.
Yeah, I felt like Hamilton played well at left guard. I liked him better than Bredis in there, though.
Yeah, I've learned to not take preseason O-line tape too much because they're not facing any type of blitzes or anything. Like, Will Hernandez looked great in the preseason last year. Remember that? And went on to have Will Hernandez unbelievably got worse every year of his career. Like, how does that happen? Lemieux looked good in camp too, man. Like he was looking a lot better. In fact, if Lemieux can fucking get healthy, a guy who never missed a game in college now misses every game in the NFL. He could be a guy who, like, looks good, but they want to play a Zudu long term, and it's like you slide him to center. You know, because I'm not expecting anything we get out of Nick Gates will be a positive because I don't know. I have no idea what to expect. Like I don't know if I should expect him to be back week 12 or never. So I think Lemieux could be like a guy if he plays well, but it's like, hey, we got this Zudu guy. You move him to center. Like, I think that's a role that would fit him well too.
That was something that we mentioned here on the podcast early back in training camp about giving Lemieux snaps at center. And
he looked good when he did it too.
Yeah, I Murph and I aren't really fans of Feliciano at center. I don't either,
but he's just a stopgap.
Yeah, he's overstated for his position. So I definitely like Lemieux there more. And then, you know, if you can develop a Zudu or even Hamilton there at the left guard position, that might be
How
a better.
How old is Devery Hamilton? I was going to look this up today for us.
He's only been in the league for a year.
I think he's like 24.
Yeah, so he's a second-year player, man. So I was hoping that he would play over Ben Bredesen this week. And those depth charts can be off sometimes, so maybe we will see him.
I
want to see Devery Hamilton more than Ben Bredesen. Ben Bredesen was really bad every time he got a chance to play last year.
Yeah, he wasn't very good.
I like Bredesen better snapping, to be honest with you. I mean, he's just an extra, but do we think they're going to do any rotation?
No, they got to be done with that, hopefully.
I fucking hope so.
You got to pray no one gets hurt. You know, my biggest concern is who's the swing tackle. You know, if Neil or Thomas go down, we're in real trouble.
Oh, God. I think it's one of the more understated needs on the Giants right now because the tackles, like, because we have our guys there, you know, but if one of those guys goes down, who's the swing tackle?
It's got to be Hamilton.
It's Hamilton.
It's guys who have never played tackle in the NFL ever.
Yeah, exactly.
And Danny's running for his life again.
Yeah, so if one of them goes down, please let it be the right tackle because I can't deal with what we had last year. So even Matt Parrott would be like a sigh of relief to get him healthy, but he's out the minimum of the first 4 weeks, and then he's coming off of a torn ACL. So what do we expect out of him? So, yeah, I said it, and people thought I was joking. The Giants should go sign like a Mike Remmers type, you know, like, Mike Remmers isn't good. And I'm like, but again, we do not have a backup tackle on the roster. We have no backup tackles on the roster right now. Not a single one.
Is he a free agent?
Yeah, I think so.
He's just on a practice squad, so.
Who? Oh, yeah. So, I know we're not doing Cowboys talk. Tyron Smith going down makes the Cowboys a lot worse. Like, he's their second most valuable player on that offense after Dak. And
that O-line's already hurting.
Yeah, that's not what it used to be. But Tyron in particular really is kind of like – you look at Dak's splits with and without Tyron, he's a totally different player. It's kind of like DJ with and without a good left tackle in Thomas. So I'm interested to see what Jason Peters is because he can – if he can just be a little bit above average, he can make a huge difference for the Dallas. But if he's below average, like Dallas – may not have the best of years.
NYG Mason asks, what about Jason Spriggs?
I mean, I don't know who the guy is, but if he's ever played tackle in the NFL, like, you know, pick him up.
I don't know. What are you available to play tackle, Bobby, or what?
I might be in the more of the swing guard category with my.
I saw you and Dable talking at training camp.
Yeah, I told him. I actually think I did say, I was like, you guys need guards or something. I said, I can't remember exactly what I said, something slick like that. You know, I can't remember, but my foot speed is, it was slow when I was in college. And then now it's got to be pretty bad.
Well, it's good that, you know, Brian Daboll finally got to meet you at least. You know, it's always good when you can get out there and meet the fans. So,
yeah. You know, that was a lot more like, okay, this is fine. Where Joe Judge, when I met him, I felt like a piece of shit because I literally like stalked him down and was like, can I record something real quick? And I
shake
felt,
and bake.
I felt so he saved me. Cause it was the only time I've done something talking Giants. And I've just been like actually nervous. Cause I was like, I'm about to ambush this guy. It's the shittiest thing you can do. And then try and record him. And then, so when I like, you know, stutter, like you look like shake and bake. And he's like, oh yeah. Like Pat just changed his license plate. And I was like, oh my God, thank God they know what this is. Because I was about to like cry. I was so embarrassed.
You know what I'm disappointed most about though, Bobby? That you didn't use the opportunity meeting Dable to slap a sticker on the top of that dome of his.
I wanted to get one on some of the helmets or something, but I should have been. Afterwards, I think I was like, man, I should have just patted him on the back and got a sticker.
But that would have been good.
I did that to some of the fans in the stands. And I like just people, random people in front of me, just pack a sticker on the back there. I was like, you see that number 43 guy? You know who that is? I'm like, I don't know. And then they're walking around with a sticker on their back for the rest of the day.
You're infamous with those.
Did you put a sticker by any chance on the New York Thruway at one of the rest areas? I saw one this summer in July, believe it or not.
If it was in July, no. I did run into somebody. I went and visited some family in the Catskills. mm-hmm. and stop at a rest stop on the way back. And some guy's like, Bobby Skinner. I was like, you got to be fucking kidding me. He's like, I'm listening to your podcast right now.
Oh, my God. It's so funny. No, I swear to God, I was in Utica. I was driving. I stopped at the rest area, and I saw a Talking Giants sticker. And I was like, what?
It's probably one of the college kids, because Danny goes to college up there.
Oh.
And there's some, like, kids up there that like us. So, but you have a better chance of seeing them in Florida than you do up north, because I just spent all last summer just putting them every single place I went. You guys remember, every weekend, I would just go, me and my brother would go get – you know, we would go get our coffees in the morning and just kind of drive around and bullshit
and Dunkin' Donuts.
Just pop stickers on everything. I think the last thing I did, I put a magnet on a cop car when we were at a garage sale, took the picture and then peeled it off and then drove away. I was like, I'm not leaving this on there.
But you didn't have to let everybody know you took it off. You can't let just play the.
Oh, I didn't. I didn't. You guys got the inside scoop on that. I didn't.
All right, let's turn our attention to Tennessee, Bobby. How you feeling about Tennessee?
Slayton, real quick.
All right, go ahead.
What's the deal, man? I saw his excuse today. I didn't see anything else. Is anybody seeing anything? I've been out of the game today.
Bobby, are you okay on time, by the way? I know you got something to do afterwards. So.
Yeah, I'm good for a little while.
Okay.
I got a fantasy football draft at 7.
So do we know why he was excused today? Was there any reports after that? That's all I saw.
I've been just waiting for it. It connects the dots. They just signed Marcus Johnson, who fits the same athletic profile as him.
Right.
They were trying to trade him. I don't necessarily believe Adam Schefter. I can see that just being like Joe Shane being like, yeah, we got calls trying to drum up some interest.
Schefter, he said something today?
No, before cutdowns, yeah. He said something. And they got to get under the – they got to have their cap like for week one in line tomorrow at 4.
Yeah.
So just connecting dots.
Do we think he's like taking a physical somewhere, or
I think he's
trading the works? Or you think
I don't think they got a trade for him. I think they're just cutting him, which sucks. Which really does suck.
I just feel like we know by now. That was hours ago.
I mean, you could at least get something for him, whether it be a 7th or 6th.
You know how they can be though. They can like, because they're not going to be at practice on Thursday. I can see the Giants, the way they've done shit is they do it after practice is over, so the beat reporters can't ask about it for 2 days. You know, and then on Friday they'll have the injury report and shit. So there'll be one. So like, you know, they don't like, you know, like they didn't do the Blake thing until like right after Joe Shane had his press conference that day. So
I'm torn on Slay, man. He hasn't done anything to prove himself this summer. He's buried on the depth chart. But again, like I was bitching about,
but
the
he's buried
guys.
On the depth chart behind David Sills. Like that's not right. Like that's right.
I know. But at the same time, like, I'm not a Slayton fan. Wanted him gone a long time ago. Think he's a huge liability, but you're taking away another one of Danny's guys he has chemistry with.
And
like it or not, whether he drops balls or not, that's Danny's guy.
And he was – I mean, again, he's behind 3 injury-prone players. Like, 3 injury – like, and he's your only outside receiver with speed. Now, they signed Marcus Johnson, who I don't know who he is besides looking up a pro day report and looking at his – raw stats, so I'm not going to sit here and say Marcus Johnson is you know, the guy to replace him, but it just kind of looks like that. So it's just like Darius Slayton led the team and as a rookie and sophomore in receiving yards. I just don't like you give me a 7th round pick, give me something for that guy. Right. Like,
honestly,
teams are gonna want Darius Slayton.
That was the worst thing that ever could happen to Darius Slayton.
Yeah, it got his what a wild year career for him, you know, where year one, 8 touchdowns, 750 yards in 14 games. Awesome. And then week one of the next year puts up 140 and 2 touchdowns to start the season. And we're all like all off season. We're like, can Slayton be a one? Can Slayton be a one? He does that. And we're like, yep, he's the one. And then I think he banged up his ankle that year. Cause he was good. Like throughout, like he had a touchdown versus Washington. He had over 100 yards versus Dallas. And then he just kind of fell off, but he still led them in receiving.
But
and then last year with all the guys they had, even it was last year was his worst year. Just like even when the other guys were hurt, like he didn't come up, and his drops were just unreal. I mean, he had like a 10% drop rate. That's insane.
But that's the thing though with Slayton is that even with the injuries, he still played through a lot of them though.
Yeah. So I would like Slayton to be on the team. There's talent there. And again, he's produced more than – like, look at all the wide receiver trades that aren't, like, top dogs. Like, Slayton should be in that – should be getting a six-round pick. Like, Jalen Reagor just went – I know he's got more years on his contract and all that. But Jalen Reagor trying to be force-fed into a role, his best year is, like, 299 yards. Darius Slayton, as a fifth-round rookie who missed all of training camp, had 750 yards after missing two games. So it just – I feel like the best day three pick of Dave Gettleman, we should be able to get something back for him in a trade. But I don't know. I guess not, which is depressing at this point.
I think they waited.
Again, I mean, that's it. Go ahead, CJ.
No, I just think they waited too long. I think and this kind of same thing happened with Bradbury. I mean, they waited too long, and, you know, at the end of the day, people know you want to trade a guy. They're not going to give you anything. They
exactly.
Just wait until he gets released.
And Super Taj just said, N'Keal Harry went for a seventh-round pick. Slayton could get that. Slayton's undoubtedly better wide receiver than that guy. And I went and looked at it one day in the offseason. I was like, there's a trade market for Darius Slayton. It's just a matter of pulling the trigger when you get the offer and not trying to play hardball and getting a fifth instead of a sixth or a sixth instead of a seventh.
And look, that could very well be a knock on this regime too, is the fact that they did miscalculate the value of a lot of these guys and just failed to cash in on any of them.
I mean, but here's the thing. Why don't they just keep
Bradbury go to a division rival?
Yeah. I don't care about him going to – I mean, I care, but I can't blame Joe Shane for him going to a division rival. But here's my thing. It's like, okay, you can't get a trade for Slayton. Keep him. Like, you only save $1.5 million of cap space because you got to replace the contract.
This point, you have to, right?
Just keep him. Yeah, don't release him. Like, what's another $1.5 million in restructures?
At this point, who's got talent? It's almost the same argument as Blake, just without the personal piece in it. Like, it's like, you're here. Week one's 5 days away, 4 days away. I mean, we don't have some great wide receiver core, in my opinion. It's just very questionable. It's like, I don't get it, man.
His contract's not guaranteed, yeah. Murph. So if some team loses their wide receiver in week two, you can trade them, and you're getting the majority of the cap savings anyways if somebody wants them then. So that's – I would just keep him. Yeah. If you can't get any trade, like he's talented. He's led a team in receiving twice as a rookie and a sophomore. Like, I know last year was disappointing, but he's a guy who still can put up production in the NFL. And he's your only speed guy on the outside.
Your opportunity to cut Slayton was on cut down day. Now you don't cut him. It's just.
Yeah, I agree.
It doesn't help. It doesn't help the roster, and it definitely doesn't help your quarterback.
Well, Marcus Johnson also ran a 4.38 at the combine as well, too. So, again, adding somebody that can play that outside, he's 6'1", you know, basically kind of built like Darius Slayton with similar speed. So,
well, and Al Groh has coached him in two places, I believe, our wide receivers coach. I think he had him in Indy and Philly, so he knows him. But, again, I mean, he filled in as an extra in Indy.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy who's had 51 career catches in his career. Slayton did that his rookie year. So I don't know. I just want to get to week one. I'm excited for it, but part of me is like, I just want to fast forward to next year. Like
aren't you sick of that feeling? Because
yes, I hate it with a fucking passion. I hate it.
Well, and that's what pisses me off, man. It's like
we become the Cubs.
I do think this team could have, before all the cuts, I do think this team had a chance to compete. Win a Super Bowl? Probably not. But, like, everybody's jerking Philly off. Remember last year when everybody was jerking off the Redskins, the best team in the NFC?
And Philly was like the laughing stock. They were going to be like the worst team in the league.
Yeah, and I saw Philly's the most popular bet on NFC champion so far as of this
morning. I'll tell you, Philly's only going to go as far as their quarterback, but Philly's fucking loaded.
They're better. Yeah, they got their quarterbacks on the bench.
They're loaded, man.
Their quarterbacks on the bench.
And they got two first-round picks next year. Here.
What's up, MH? Dad, I'm sorry.
I thought you were going to read his chat.
Nah, just my guy MH showed up. He came over from it's follower attainers, and when we do the Mets streams, he always pops in. So
following Mets. Us over here too. So little Mets guy. I wonder how MH feels about that 14-game blown lead.
Oh Jesus! Like I said, you guys don't even have the second best record in baseball. So
you're talking to the guy that hopes they lose.
Yeah, me and Murph are very much like Yankees fans, where it's like, it's either win a World Series or I hate every single person on the roster except for Aaron Judge.
Well, I hated him preseason, honestly.
There you go, Bobby. Bobby is great. I don't
think damage.
I think he must be talking about a different one. He didn't say Bobby Skinner.
Bobby Valentine.
O-line coach Bobby Johnson.
Bobby Valentine, yeah. Yes, this is Murph.
But I am excited for week one. So you were talking about Titans, and what are the Titans? Like, I don't know what they're going to be this year as a team. Like, their receiving group is bad. Yeah. Derrick Henry coming off the injury.
Jalen Burks didn't do anything all preseason long.
Their defense is depleted.
Robert Woods coming off an ACL.
Yeah, their defense is depleted. You know, they just lost Landry. Like, I don't – like, the Titans could be a team that just falls off the earth this year after being the one seed last year. Now, they're really well coached, so I don't expect that to happen. But, like, and they're in a shitty division as well.
They lost Harold Landry as well.
Yeah, who had like 12 sacks for them last year. So, I don't know what the Titans are gonna be. So I'm still excited for this Week One game. Like, if we were playing the Packers or somebody, I'd be like, here we go. But with the Titans are just bad enough to get me to be like, you know what, maybe. You never know. And it's week one. So you always go into week one being like, let's win a game. And as a Giants in the last 5 years, you come out of it and not remembering what that feeling is like to be 1-0.
The weather's not going to be good there either. Apparently it's supposed to be raining on Sunday. Yeah. So that might actually help us. You know, it's going
to. I don't think Henry's getting the load, man. I really don't.
I don't know what to expect out of him.
I do not see it. I see Dontrell Hillard getting a lot of carries as well.
And they can still run the ball pretty well, but they're starting that rookie from Ohio State at right tackle. Like, I don't think it sucks that Z's and Kayvon aren't going to be playing, because those guys could take advantage of him, where Jahad Ward and Oshane Zimenez will not do that. So,
at this point, I'm on the train. Leave Z's and Kayvon out as long as you need to. It's a long season, man.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to rush them back, especially
those are long term pieces. You don't want to rush them back.
Yeah,
regardless, this year.
Tibbs is definitely out. I could see Ojulari play a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Tibbs is 100% out. Z's, we don't really know. I guess I'm really waiting for the injury report tomorrow to see what, because then they actually have to say what the injuries are and stuff. Where in camp, they can just lie.
We're already there.
So, what are your keys to the game, Bobby? What are you looking for? What do the Giants need to do? Squeak out victory here.
I mean, Daniel Jones just has to be really good. Like, I know that's super simplistic, but like, they got, you know, young corners playing. You know, obviously they got some good safeties. You know, Bird is one of their safeties. But this new offense has to come out and be like, oh, wow, this is what Brian Daboll and Mike Kafka are going to do. And they got to put up 28 points. And then with Wink, you're playing against a bad receiving group. You just got to force a couple mistakes out of Ryan Tannehill, because I don't think their offense is going to be good enough to overcome a couple mistakes if our offense. So I haven't dove deep into the Titans. I watched a little bit of them today. So I don't know. To me, it's kind of simple. It's like this passing game has to be what we dreamed of when we hired Brian Daboll and Mike Kafka. Like, they don't – to win this game, you don't have time for growing pains with the passing game. And just – Let the running game translate from what we've seen in training camp and preseason, you know. So it's like you just got to put up at least 28 points to win this game, I think. Just hope our corners are at least close to not as bad as their receivers.
I think this is a big game for Daniel Jones. I mean, we're talking about, you know, either franchise or extension. I think this is the type of game, if he can come out there and pull off the upset, I think that just adds to his resume, you know, especially in a game, no one, you know, I looked at NFL.com, no one's expecting them to win. So, you know, these are the types of games. I mean, it's great when you beat the Washington, you know, the Commanders, and you beat a fourth string quarterback. Let's win this game. Let's win a game you're not supposed to win.
Yeah, and week one can really change the tune on guys. It really does. You know, like look at Derek Carr last year. Like he started the season out hot, had some down moments, but because he started the season out hot, people are talking about him. He's looking good. People's good graces again. So start the season out hot. You know, you got us, you know, you've got the first three games are games where you can be able to throw the ball a little bit. You know, yeah, you can throw the ball in Dallas. You can throw the ball versus Carolina. You know, you're not facing that elite quarterback those first few weeks. You know, Baker's definitely an upgrade over Darnold. Tannehill's not elite. Dak is really good, but again, he doesn't have Jason Peters. Michael Gallup's out. Amari Cooper's gone. So there's a lot of questions there. So these 3 weeks, it's got to look a lot better than last year. Like, I don't know about the wins and losses, but I feel like it's just got to look a lot better than what it was last year.
Yeah. I'm just hoping not to see the flying V formation anytime soon, you know, like the last game of the season.
Or at the last play of the game, I wouldn't mind. Yeah.
We got to change the narrative in this franchise. I mean, when was the last time we won week one?
Like 2016. Dallas.
And before that, probably.
I think it was like
2012.
Well, not even 2012. Remember, we're one of the only Super Bowl teams to lose week one in like the last 20 years. It's like that's us, right? And one other team.
Wait, I thought we started 5. Wasn't that the year we started?
That was 2008.
Okay.
So, yeah, because 2012 we lost to the Cowboys week one on Thursday night.
The Packers too, wasn't it? The Packers.
This is Brian Daboll and Wink's opportunity to create their piece of this franchise.
Yeah.
Win immediately. Get us off to a hard start. Because, I mean, dude, it's going to be a rough year. But if we can at least have some positivity coming out of the gate, because we've never had it in years, I think that, like you said, it'll light a fire. But it's going to be a long year for sure. But yeah, we got to change this start of the year, end the season by October.
Like, if Brian Daboll and Mike Kafka are good coaches, this offense should be there should be an upbeat like feeling about the offense at the end of the year. Because again, we forget how bad the last coaching staff was with the offense. Like it was the worst in the NFL. So you're going into week one. You're healthy at all 11 positions on the offense besides left guard, which was arguably your weakest position anyways. You know, so it's the offense should and you got the element of newness to it too as well. So the offense should be able to put up points this week. It should look like a good offense, at least for 1 week.
All right, Bobby, before we wrap this up here soon, what's your prediction for the Tennessee Titans game this week?
Giants 77, Titans 0.
All right, I like it. Staying true to form. And then what about your season-long predictions? Where you got the Giants finishing?
6-11. It's.
I thought you were going to say 17-0, but.
Yeah, I want to, but I'm standing at 6-11 because you can go through the schedule and be like, oh, that team, you know, we have that stretch of four bad teams. But what I've learned is you gotta factor in injuries into predictions because they happen every single year, and especially with the Giants. So I got us at 6-11. You know, we've got some bad teams on the schedule. We'll pull out an upset. We'll split with Washington. I just think it somehow it ends up at 6 wins.
I also had us at 6 wins too, but yeah, I'm a little encouraged by what I see in the preseason, so I'm going to set it 6 wins as a floor for the Giants.
Last year, 10 wins was the floor, and we saw a new floor.
Sure, the ceiling is the roof. So since we also got you here, though, too, Bobby, and I know you don't really get to talk about it all that much, and we are missing Tino, but
– I know. I forgot to say at the top, where the hell's Tino?
Ah, fuck Tino. Tino left us, so the hell with him. I did a Mets stream. What happened, Murph?
He's too good for us now.
I actually did a Mets stream with him last weekend, so we were together. We got the.
Is he still with
who?
Like the Believe Network?
No. He actually works for the NBA now.
Oh, wow. Real dirtbag, right, Murph?
So there you go. It's a perfect segue into What the hell's going on with the new? I was going to say New Jersey, the Brooklyn Nets. There, Bobby, KD gets a trade. They tell him no, go sit in the corner, be a good kid, and then all of a sudden he wants to make it work.
The only person I don't hate on the Nets of note is Kyrie Irving. He's the only one. That being said, I'm glad we're running it back. All I care about is winning a championship. I don't care if, you know, if Kevin Durant comes and, you know, runs my mother off the sidewalk. I just want to win a championship. I don't care who gets it to me. It's the one franchise where I know this is my only shot at the Nets winning a title. Like, if they squander this, I will never experience a Nets championship. And they're my second favorite team after the Giants. You know, and so I'll be just living off of the Jason Kidd glory days of, you know, if we didn't, you know, blow game six in 03 versus the Spurs. So they're running it back, and there's no reason why they shouldn't be one of the best teams in the East and competing for a title. Like, I think we forget about it too. Like, oh, well, it's been a failure. Yes, it's been a failure. The first year didn't count because KD with the injury. Last year was a total failure, whether it was Kyrie not being there, other injury, like, you know, the James Harden. So it was just a total failure. No excuses. But year two, we're one Kyrie Irving not landing on Giannis's ankle away from flat out just winning a championship. Not like they might win a championship. Like, no, they blew out the Bucks in the first two games. And then Kyrie sprains his ankle, and they still almost won that series with only Kevin Durant, with Bruce Brown as your second best player. You know, Joe Harris, you know, choked in that. So, yeah, we're making a title run, so I'm happy with it. My rankings of hate are Josiah's number one, Kevin Durant's number two, because he's being the biggest pussy about all this. Like, you chose this. You chose everything about this team. Now you're mad they're not giving your way. Sean Marks is three. Steve Nash. Steve Nash is four, even though
– Who is one?
Josiah, the owner.
Oh.
Steve Nash is four, even though I would like Steve Nash to be gone more than any of them. But Steve Nash didn't choose to be the head coach. Like, they went and got him, and Kevin Durant got him, so they can't be too mad at him. And then five is Kyrie, but I don't feel hate for Kyrie, because at least the sticking point with Kyrie is he wanted to be extended by the Nets, and the Nets said no because he's been unreliable with the vaccine.
Kyrie is who he is. He's never pretended to be someone other than
– Yeah, that's the thing I like about Kyrie, is at least he's just, like, straight up about it and you know, so, like, I think he's a weird dude? Yeah. He's the one I hate the least. From the outside world, they hate Kyrie more. Everyone hates Kyrie the most. Yeah.
So I know that they're not trading Durant. Is Kyrie off the table now too?
There's no one to trade for. The only team that would trade for him would be the Lakers, and there's nothing that would make sense for the Nets to do that. So they're running it back. And supposedly when they met and Kevin Durant said he's wants to come back now, it wasn't just for one more run it back. It was like, okay, let's do this long term. So it's I hated them so much this summer. Like, I really hated every single person in that situation. I hated Joe. I still hate Josiah. I still don't like Kevin Durant, but I can't fully hate Kevin Durant because he is on my team and he's a top five player in the NBA. So I don't know. I just want a championship. That's really all I give a shit about, is winning a championship, not being, you know, a playoff team. I just want a championship. That's all I care about with the Nets.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm definitely going to read into this. I don't care if it was a Chicago-based sponsor, but Giannis is open to playing for the Bulls, he said. So,
sounds good to me. Get Milwaukee off that out of the way for us. So,
yeah. So, as a Bulls fan, I'd be looking forward to that. But I don't think that's necessarily – I don't think he's leaving the books, though. So, we'll see. Bobby, we did have a message for you, though. I did have to deliver it from my good friend Cop Pizzle. So Cop said to tell Bobby to tell Justin to come see me this weekend.
I will tell Justin that, but I told Justin to shoot on site. So Cop Pizzle, put on a bulletproof vest or something, because Justin has orders. Shoot on site.
Pizzle said, because if I have to go looking for him, I won't be happy. I'm not sure what this is all about, but it really does sound interesting, though. So
Justin's got orders to shoot on site, so just keep your head on a swivel, Cop Pizzle.
Are you and Cop Pizzle still, like, still butting heads?
I don't hate him like I used to. Now I'm just like, he's just kind of funny. Like, it's He's
a cartoon character.
Yeah, I don't like him, but I there's nothing he can say that makes me mad. Where when I first
By the way, he comes out with this whole elaborate video about how he's retiring the cop pizzle.
Oh, he's an idiot. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. He's an idiot, but I don't hate him. You know, if I see something that I think is funny to dunk on him for, I'll do it. But for the most part, I just like, you know, let Cop Pizzle be Cop Pizzle.
Well, you still have.
But Justin does have the order to shoot on sight.
Well, you still have to Nate Solder comeback player of the year. So I'm not going to let him forget that one. Either,
no, it was comeback player of the year on the Giants. That's what it was. The award. Listen, there's no such thing as that award. But that is what he was saying. He definitely was saying that award that doesn't exist was what he meant.
I'm not going to let him lift that down. So it is what it is. Bobby, thank you so much, man, for coming on. I always appreciate having you on. It's a blast. You know, again, congratulations on what you and Justin are doing, building there. A lot of great interviews. So you got to interview Andrew Thomas, which I know was huge for you as well. You know, continue to do what you're doing, man. I really appreciate you. Appreciate your support, even for us little guys. So make sure you follow Bobby. Good luck
with Clapback Sports. And I hope all the best for you in the Clapback game.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. We're always going to be Clapback at heart.
Oh, yeah, you guys are always Clapback to me. Weren't you guys Murph and the Mage pod for a long time, too?
Yeah, when we first started, it was just me and Murph.
Yeah, I think Anthony was, like, your guys' second guest, too, right?
Yeah, I thought about Anthony, not too long ago, man. I came across his profile page. I'm still following him, so that's always going to be the case. Yeah. But, yeah, Anthony came on. He did some player breakdowns for us as well.
Yeah, I remember that.
Very early on. Thanks again, Bobby. Make sure I need to plug you guys, but follow Bobby at @BobbySkinner_. Follow and subscribe to Talking Giants on YouTube, also on Twitter as well. Bobby, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate you. Hopefully, this isn't the last time we'll have you on this season. So,
no doubt, appreciate you, fellas.
Thanks, guys. And that's going to wrap up this episode of Giants Report. Peace and love, everyone.